Come, traveler. Discover one of the world's most fascinating cities, with its incredible skyscrapers and bold modern design.
Any guesses which city that promotional video is talking about? If you guess Chicago, you're right. A city famous for its architecture, its impressive modern skyscrapers, and its stunning historic structures. But if you visit Chicago these days to gaze at it all, you're likely to end up at the Bean. That's what most people call Cloud Gate, a sculpture by Anish Kapoor that's a favorite spot for tourists taking selfies because its mirrored surface reflects you and the stately skyscrapers that line Millennium Park. I stopped by the Bean with Blair Kamen. He's the Chicago Tribune's Pulitzer Prize-winning architecture critic. I asked him what he sees when he looks at the Bean.
I see possibility. I see contemporary technology used to make art. I see the clouds drawn down into this jelly bean-like polished mirrored surface thing where you can almost touch them. I just see wonder, and I see a new emblem of Chicago.
And a mix of old and new in this view that we're looking at right here.
It's an amazing thing. It looks lighter than air, but it weighs 110 tons. It has a steel armature inside, but it's got this polished, smooth surface. It's a funhouse mirror because of these complex curves, and it's perfect for Chicago because it's placed right at the foot of the skyline. And so it reflects the kind of great architectural achievements of the city, but in a way that you've never seen them before, because of the way that they're torqued and curved and, you know, reflected here. You see a picture of the city's, you know, drive, its ambition. It's reaching for something beyond the ordinary. And that's what this sculpture does. It's kind of, you know, it's been said it's like liquid mercury.
Yeah, it looks
frozen,
like it, right.
Right? But I think this has become Millennium Park, this park that we're standing in, has become a kind of new town square of Chicago. And I think that's really important because this is a city and a metropolitan area that's often divided along lines of race and class. And yet this is an area where people can come together and coexist, at least in the same public space.
There's a word that I saw in many of your columns, and that is democratic.
Yeah.
This is very democratic.
It's not the traditional public sculpture, the general on horseback, the, you know, the great white man up on the pedestal. This is down on the ground. It's participatory. There's another public sculpture here that consists of two tall glass block towers called the Crown Fountain, and it broadcast digitally the faces of 1,000 Chicagoans. So in other words, and they're like 30 feet high. And in other words, it doesn't celebrate, you know, the great man. It celebrates ordinary people. These are the people of the city. The public sculpture here is interactive, it's democratic, and you just see that in the way that it's kind of acted as a kind of magnet for people in the city, for tourists. It's a different type of architecture and public art.
And it's relatively new, like a number of the other buildings that Blair Kamen says stand out in Chicago's skyline. We asked him to pick four. You can see them at hereandnow.org. He started with the Aqua Tower, which opened in 2009.
The Aqua Tower is interesting because it, first of all, it's designed by a woman, Jeannie Gang, and it departs from the kind of macho, muscular expression that's typical of Chicago, the expression of structure, the underlying steel frame of a building. Aqua's about curves. It has this very sensuous series of balconies that kind of wrap around it. And it's almost like built topography. It was actually inspired by some of the limestone formations along the Mississippi River and other places in the Midwestern region.
That's a departure from the tradition of modern architecture that made Chicago famous. For that, Kamen says it's hard to find a better example than the John Hancock Center, now known as 875 North Michigan Avenue.
The Hancock is just the essence of Chicago. If you imagine, it's a truncated obelisk, so it doesn't go up straight. It goes up 100 stories and it tapers inward as it rises. It's not just the shape, though. It's in Chicago, there's a tradition of expressing the underlying structure of a building. And the Hancock does that just with great elegance and strength. The building is has a series of X braces that express the internal structure of this tube, a series of columns, X braces, and beams that hold the building up. By building the building in that way, by creating this tube structure, they saved an enormous amount of money over a conventional steel frame skyscraper. It's kind of like what resulted from that was it went from reason into romance, and it created this tremendous image, kind of dark, muscular, like I've compared it to a Prohibition era gangster wearing a tuxedo. It kind of is vaguely threatening, but it's a great symbol of the city. And it's very different from New York, I should say. In other words, again, this is the Midwestern version of Metropolis. You know, if you want to look at New York, you know, you look at the Chrysler Building. It's kind of jazzy and fun and pizzazz. And we have Art Deco, great Art Deco skyscrapers too. But, you know, Chicago is sober and tough and serious. And there's a blue-collar aspect to it. And that's the Hancock.
Blair Kamen's next pick wouldn't be described as blue-collar. It's the only high-rise that was allowed to be built east of Lakeshore Drive. Lake Point Tower has a curved form that stands out, as the architect George Shipperite noted.
The Y-shaped configuration for the tower gives each resident a view of Lake Michigan. The 120-degree angle between the legs of the Y minimizes the ability to see into someone else's apartment.
Blair Kamen says those curves go against the right angles that typify Daniel Burnham's 1909 plan of Chicago.
And fortunately, the only skyscraper east of Lakeshore Drive, because the whole idea here is that the lakefront, as Burnham said, by right, belongs to the people. And, I mean, that's one of the great things about Chicago, the democracy, the democratic impulse of its architecture, that architecture isn't simply for kings, princes, the traditional patrons who built churches or palaces. The palaces here are parks for people or shopping centers, department stores like Louis Sullivan's Carson Perry Scott store. That's an ideal, of course, but at its best, Chicago is an expression of American democracy in three-dimensional form.
Probably puts a premium on the condos in the Lake Point Tower that it's the only one east of Lakeshore Drive.
Yeah, it does. Although it's interesting, if you've been in those condos, they only have 8-foot ceilings. They're kind of low by contemporary standards. But nonetheless, when there's the air and water show here, people in Lake Point Tower see that they can literally see the eyes of the pilots as they fly by in their jets.
The two tallest buildings in Chicago didn't make Blair Kamen's list, the Willis Tower, formerly known as the Sears Tower, and the Trump Tower, which opened in 2009. The Trump Tower sits along the Chicago River near the last building Kamen wanted to talk about, which has been around for nearly 100 years. That would be the Tribune Tower.
The Tribune Tower is another great individual Chicago building. It's this neo-Gothic skyscraper that was based on French Gothic cathedrals of the medieval period. It soars up from its site near the Chicago River. It has flying buttresses. It has grotesques. Those are gargoyle-like sculptures that signify the importance of freedom of the press. It has this Gothic crown that kind of stands out beautifully alongside the clock tower of the Wrigley Building. The other special thing about it is that it has fragments of famous buildings from around the country and the world embedded in its base. The publisher and editor of the Tribune, Colonel Robert McCormick, in the 1920s, ordered his correspondents to obtain, by, quote, honorable means only, pieces of famous buildings. So there's a piece of the Vatican, the Parthenon, the Great Wall of China. Cultural appropriation? Probably. But it does create a kind of vicarious around-the-world tour that, you know, tourists love to see. It stops tourists in their tracks, and they see these fragments.
Those fragments are still there, but the Tribune staff moved out last year. The building will be turned into what else? Condos. And if you think of things the way Blair Kamen does, just imagine the Tribune Tower is a person starting a new job.
When you see these buildings, yeah. It sounds like you see people.
Oh,
the buildings absolutely. Are people.
Well, the buildings are exemplify the spirit, the energy, the ambition, the drive, the aspirations of the city. That's why I think people care about them so much. You know, they speak of this, you know, what was as recently as, less than 200 years ago, this flat, barren, nothing settlement, essentially. And, you know, all of a sudden it's been transformed into this incredible global city.